Well, hello there. It's
Friday the 13th.
September. And another week has gone by. This is episode 159 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. And just in case I am ever linked to, you know, my real identity or anything, I am just going to put this out here on the record that anything I say is just by me. Just comes from me. I am not representing anybody. I do not have any sponsors. And it's my opinions and statements linked to no one else. If you know the background, I can always explain a little further than that, but I'm just putting that out there as a more cover my butt scenario. And let's get to the actual real meat, you know, of the podcast. Because before the debate on, when was that at this point? Tuesday? Before the debate on Tuesday, right off the bat, thanks to me doing it a day early, Trump decided to try and gaslight the American public, because we thought this Arlington thing was over. But he went out on Friday, Saturday, over the weekend, and adamantly denied it ever happened. You can't make this stuff up, guys. And, you know, to that butt coverage, I'm not. And speaking politics, this is just news, too. The man attempted to gaslight the American people again. And that's that. He's proven to be a liar and master manipulator. And since it's still bothering him, he's bringing it up. Similarly, as Harris baited him during the debate, most of the pundits that I'm catching say that Harris won the debate. She is in the margin of error on the polls. And if you start looking a little closer at the polls, Trump is still actually ahead based on the Electoral College and the polls. So, depending on who you support, you can't sit back and relax quite yet. The margin of error is still so tight that it's anyone's game. Anyone's. Otherwise, the meme game has been absolutely incredible since the debate. I have been loving peeking at social media, and everyone has latched onto the illegal aliens eating family pets. And I never thought I would see Gordon Shumway, aka Alf, that old TV show, resurface into American pop culture. It's like, hey Gordon, how's it going? I don't know what the life expectancy of a Melmacian is, but I thought you were long gone, and yet here he's showing up as an quote-unquote illegal alien that loves to eat pets. Now, if you're not familiar with the old TV show ALF, A-L-F, it starred a puppeted? I never actually looked into the background behind the scenes of this show. I was too young at the time. I just enjoyed the show. To know how they did this character? I assume a child was in the costume during times that they needed a full body, him running around, or an individual that has the medical, I don't know what the political correct term is, but the medical small people situation. So I'm attempting to be as respectful as possible. I don't know what the acceptable terms are anymore. But either way, he was this literal alien that crashed into... The premise of the show was that he was a literal alien whose planet had blown up, a refugee. So he literally was an illegal alien in multiple ways, especially by today's standards. He crashed into the roof of this suburban family's home, and antics ensue. Now, one oddity was that cats on his home planet were considered a delicacy. So a running gag throughout the entire series was he would like to try to eat the cat. Hence the references. Amusingly, Trump has doubled down on this reference and commented on it at rallies still. So he's still claiming that pets, even though he was live fact-checked at the debate, he is still doubling down in claiming that pets are at risk in Springfield, Ohio. Now, what's funny about this is that Gen Alpha, one of the new slang terms that's up and coming, is the word Ohio. It means lame if you haven't heard it yet. So if you hear a Gen Alpha say that you are very Ohio, they're saying you are very lame. Because nothing happens in Ohio, including pets disappearing via being eaten. It just doesn't happen. But he's doubling down. He has concepts. Concepts of plans. Concepts of plans of people eating pets. But he has no proof. He has no plans. Just to lean into the other meme that is going around and is also absolutely brilliant. I love that one. Lastly, the other meme that I've been seeing is when Harris, I believe she goes, this, and there's a pause. There is a very pregnant pause. And from her facial expressions, you can see she is processing what she wanted to say, swallowing it, and then cutting to former president. So there are tons of people inserting in that pregnant pause what they think she might have wanted to say. I'm not an individual that standardly swears, but you get the gist. It's a famously used heavily phrase by Samuel L. Jackson, who helped fill in the blank. And oddly enough, other than the debate, which went swimmingly, and the statistics that say everything is still neck and neck, it's still too close to call, the Harris campaign is asking for another debate. The Trump campaign says, nah. With good reason, frankly. They were heavily embarrassed in the last debate, and they don't want to be heavily embarrassed again. Because, just like Biden, he's too old to be in there. Nobody's commenting, oddly, on his age in this scenario, which I do find is odd. Because the rambling, the nonsense, it was there. It was definitely old man rambling and nonsense. But nobody's tying it to his age for some reason. But with politics out of the way, if you haven't caught the debate, go enjoy the debate yourself. I could comment on the debate or bring up other instances of the debate, highlight other things, but just go forth and enjoy the debate yourself. If you haven't seen it yet, look up a transcript, however you want to consume it, and honestly listen to both sides. One side, at least in my opinion, will probably make a lot more sense than the other side. I'm leaning into last week a little bit because, well, I also forgot about another fun anecdote from my and my daughter's time at Olive Garden. And this is a practice that I have actually started doing on the rare instances that we do go and eat out, if it's been a very positive and good experience, is tell your server. Now, put the phone down, by the way. We are not recording this interaction. It's a very human thing. It's a very genuine thing. Don't do it for the memes. Don't do it for the likes. Don't do it for the content. Do it for the humanity. So you put the phone down. You've just enjoyed your meal. You've just had fun with your family or your friends or whoever you're out with. And the amazing server that has been helping make this time so pleasant, when they bring you the check or indicate how to pay, if it's one of those little on-table computer kiosk things, and you say, could you help me, do me a favor? I want to tell your manager how amazing you are. Can you get them over to my table? But please don't tell them why. Let's play a prank on your manager. So you don't panic the employee. You don't panic the server by saying, get me your manager. Don't go Karen on them. Don't make them think you're going to go Karen on them. Make sure the server knows they're in on the joke. Because what you'll see, and both of the recent instances that I've done this, what you'll see is the manager will approach your table cautiously, carefully, or strongly with purpose. They'll stride with gusto. They'll be ready for a fight. You can just see it. And then you pop that balloon when they approach your table. So what can I do for you? Because they're polite, they're professional. And then it's, I just wanted to thank you because, insert server's name here, was incredible and helped make my time here absolutely amazing. You will watch their face turn from ready for a fight to confusion, to relief, to joy. But whatever rainbow of emotions that pass across their face, you're spreading joy in the end. Daughter saw the manager later while we were waiting for our food boxes, pat that server on the back and have some kind of side conversation. They laughed, they parted ways. So the server got the positive feedback from the manager. It's like, were you in on this? Who knows what that conversation entailed? But hopefully the server at least just got that good job pat on the back. And it made the manager's day too, because so many people forget to focus on the positive. So many times it's, oh, I never go to insert restaurant name here because I had a terrible experience. You don't drive by and go, hey, I love that place. It's just the human psyche is wired for you to remember the negative more so than the positive. It's a survival technique, right? Ow, fire bad. It burned me. Negative memory. Not, oh, the kitten is fluffy. This is a positive thing. I am relaxing. you almost rediscover the fluffiness of the cat every time you pet it. While the hot, you're not going to test that again. You remember it. You remember the negative quite well. So just let that steep. The next time you're out in a restaurant, a sit-down restaurant, you have a server. It's a very positive experience. No, don't do it every time. Make it sincere. Make it random. But summon the manager and make sure the server is in on the joke. That way they're not going to go back and have a panic attack until, you know, the manager has a chance to talk to them. It's, hey, I'm going to tell your manager how amazing you are. Can you get them for me, but don't tell them? Something along those lines. I don't want to give you a script, but just something along those lines to share the joy, to spread the joy. The book Good Omens comments on how Crowley spreads anger by doing one thing. It's like, oh, I made 5,000 people miserable today. The demons are all meeting, and one says, I took this man's soul, or I tempted this man to do this evil thing. And it's like, okay, good job. And this other one steps up and says about the same thing. I whispered in this politician's ear, and they stole money from the campaign, or whatever it was. And then Crowley steps up and says, I made 5,000 people's day miserable by giving them bad cell reception. And everybody's like, what? Because most of the demons in the Good Omen series are completely clueless as to how humanity works. But in the book, he simply makes one person miserable. And that miserable person spreads that snappiness, whether it's picking up a coffee, whether it's dealing with a server. And then that sours the server's day. And then the server sours other people's days just accidentally, because it's sometimes hard to shake that negativity once you've been exposed to it. But we can do the same thing by spreading joy. That made our server's day. And I bet she went home and smiled about it and shared that smile with others she cared about. And that's what's important to do. Make other people's days. Doing a hard pivot, I gave a, please pause for a moment and let us give James Earl Jones a moment of silence. I'm not going to give a dead moment of silence here on the podcast. That would be rude and weird. So just pause for a moment for me, please, and give him a moment of silence. The voice of Vader, the wise rider from Field of Dreams, Mufasa, the evil red wizard, a master of his craft has passed away. After, I hope, leading as rich of a life as he enriched ours. And so I'm experimenting a little bit. I upped the intake volume on my microphone as I'm recording, so I would hopefully not have to play with the decibels post-recording. We'll see if this works. And Keela came back to me. Hi, Keela. Podcast at flameflash.net. And actually went the gaming vein this time. So my kids were kind of sick over the weekend. I played a little War Within. And I think that's about it. I don't remember playing with the 501st this weekend. I think they played Fortnite or something, and they had a full group, so I stayed out of it and played War Within with the eldest son that's still at home. And otherwise, heavily got some chores done and did other things over the weekend, mowed, you know, the typical stuff. didn't. Looking forward to this being another weekend that hopefully I do more in the gaming vein. I know in next month, I have signed up for some role-playing streams that will be coming up. I'll probably advertise those here on the podcast. And My Lady Saito over on Twitch, I'll be joining her streams, hopefully, for a couple of Halloween-themed one-shot episodes. One-shots being a role-playing game that can be done in one session, which is a miracle in and of itself. It takes a quite skilled storyteller or dungeon master or whatever title they might take on to pull that off. But speaking of gaming, Keela brought up gaming because she loves The Sims, or loved The Sims. It's been a while, like I think she said 2016 since she last played, but the way she was describing everything, and The Sims is an amazing series. We're on Sims 4 right now. I believe Sims 5 is in the works. I'm not positive. There are quite a few expansions still coming out for Sims 4, however. And you can track those of us that are gamers and those of us that aren't. You can track what's been going on in your life by your gaming. Because, as I've been pointing out, so much can change in just a year. So much can change in just a week sometimes. And boy, our heads are spinning when that happens. But so much can change in a year. And then you compound that, and you take five steps back and you look. And gaming is an excellent tool to help you remember milestones when you think about it. So if I take five steps back and look at World of Warcraft, for instance, what was happening in my life when Cataclysm, the expansion Cataclysm, released? I had a new child. A new child had been born. In 2004, when World of Warcraft was released, I wasn't playing yet. But my daughter was born. My eldest daughter was born that same year as World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. Milestones of gaming can help put a page flag on milestones of life. So Sims was actually a primary game of mine. Sims 2 specifically. I didn't get into Sims 1 much. I had like a copy, a disc copy, and I wasn't overly impressed. Sims 2 really ramped up the bar and added a lot, made it more enjoyable for me. And OCD me would have multiple households going, and especially once seasons were added, I would track which household I needed to play next based on the saved season of that household. It's like, oh, they're in winter, they're in fall. I'm going to play the fall family this evening. And, oh, I got to winter, I'm going to stop. And, oh, look, I still have plenty of time. I'm going to go to this other family and sync them up. That was my, you know, OCD of how I played The Sims. Did that with Sims 3 as well. And Sims 4 has so many hours logged on it for the family. It's crazy. I'm afraid to even look it up. But you can track life through gaming just a little bit. And that was the really fun interaction with Keela over Sims, just bringing Sims up. But we can do that with anything. When you get a new car, that's a change. That's a major change. It's a timeline, easily identifiable shift. When new gaming consoles come out, the PS5, the Switch, the PS4, the PS2, you can kind of remember where you were when you got it versus when it was released. For instance, I very much know when I got the N64 because Dad had passed away just a few months before. So it was that summer, I believe, that I picked up the N64 and played Mario Kart. And Mario Kart's still around today. Different versions. Some of the old tracks still come back every once in a while, depending on the version. But you can track with these milestones. And not just the big life-changing milestones of, oh, I had a kid. Or, oh, my cat was eaten by an illegal alien. It's mundane milestones, not traumatic milestones. Or earth-shaking milestones. I wouldn't say, you know, a child being born is traumatic, but it's earth-shaking. It's life-changing. But there are other milestones out there, and gaming is one of those tools, one of those activities that helps you identify those milestones. Like Keela in Sims 3. I remember with the social aspects that were added to Sims 3, even playing with Keela online or sending items back and forth. I don't exactly remember at this point how it was, just that we were social friends in Sims 3 and then interacted in some way, shape, or form. So that's what I'm going to leave everybody with. This is a less deep, less heavy episode. Nice light snack after last week. And thank you for joining me. Come forth and join me more. If you want to send something in, podcast@flameflash.net. And I represent no one but myself. This has been episode 159. We're almost 10 in from when I restarted. Thank you for joining me on this ride.